want to read three scriptures in your hearing with more than three passages, and then whatever God says from there. We are in a place of tremendous peace, but sometimes you have to fight for that peace. Philippians chapter 4. I'm going to read several verses out of Philippians chapter 4, but when you get there, somebody shout glory. Anybody there yet? Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7 says, be anxious for nothing. We almost can close the book right there. You understand? Hey, man, we literally could close the book right there and say, that's a moment that we could just sit right here on that word. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Verse 7 says, in the peace of God. Huh, somebody, you got to catch that. In the peace of God, which passes all understanding. You ought to be a wreck right now. You ought to be torn to pieces right now. But the peace of God, which passes all understanding. If you really knew where I was, you wouldn't understand why I'm able to be so content with where I am and how I'm sitting. But this peace of God that passes all understanding, it keeps your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. If my flesh could talk right now, you wouldn't be able to sit beside me because the words that I would say might not be church appropriate. But the peace of God that passes all understanding, it cleans up my language. And when I would be in a foul place, it brings me into a place of praise. It keeps my heart in my mind through Christ Jesus. Then he drops down to verse 11 through 13 and says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am. Somebody got to catch this on the reading of the word. I have learned. You're not a novice in here this morning. You got some life under your belt. And so you have learned how to govern your peace. I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content, not complacent, but content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Things don't change who I am. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both. Somebody said both. To be full and to be hungry. Do you praise the same way when you're hungry like you do when you're full? Oh, is there a variance to your worship and your praise based on what state you're in? He says, both to abound and to suffer need. Then verse 19, he says, I can do all things. This is a declaration. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Verse 19 says, but my God shall supply all your need. Anybody got a need this morning? Anybody got a need? Wave your hand because God is looking for candidates so he can supply all your need. You got to act like you really need it. See, somebody don't need something from God. It's a difference between a want and a need. A want, you can just hold on a little while longer. But anybody got a need and anybody desperate for that need from God? And you can't wait till next Sunday or you can't wait till Wednesday night. But you need your God to supply that need on this service, on this Sunday, in this atmosphere right now. If that's you with that need, but you believe your God and you believe that your God can supply that very need right now, I need those three people to give God a ridiculous praise. I need you to understand that praise and that blessing that you're releasing that praise for, it is coming to you right here, right now, and in this service. I prophesy to you, if your heart and your mind will stay on Christ Jesus, I prophesy to you right now, if you can transition from what the need is to who the provider of the need is, I prophesy to you in this service. My God shall supply every last one of your needs according to his riches. That's the way he is rich in glory. Man, I want you to understand something. Heaven is not bankrupt. Heaven is not broke. Heaven is not on a 401k plan. Heaven is not waiting on retirement. Heaven has riches, treasures, and abundance for you right now. But you got to believe this thing, amen. Somebody just touch somebody and say, your needs shall be met. And just give God praise for that neighbor. So. He said, be anxious for nothing because you don't have a need that I can't fulfill. And so why be anxious if your God can supply every last one of your needs? It would be oxymoronic to be anxious in dealing with a God who can meet every need. But sometimes life kicks in and says, well, you know, I understand what you're saying, doctor. But we obviously didn't come from the same address this morning. Where I came from and where you came from must have been two different places, because what you're talking and what I'm experiencing don't sound like a parallel between the two. But he says in Matthew 6:25, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life. Sometimes you just got to go back to the word and find your confidence. Do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink. Somebody is already, man, I don't know where I'm going to do it. Ain't nobody coming to my house and we going to be all by ourselves. What we going to do? We going out to eat or what? Worrying about something that don't even matter, because it's a day on the calendar. And I just want to talk to you this morning about being at peace and don't worry about Thursday. You got to hear this morning. Stop worrying about Thursday. Who coming, who ain't coming, where you going, what you going to eat. Take no thought about what you will eat or what you will drink. I don't care if you open your refrigerator and get out a Spam sandwich. If you don't want it cold, fry it. Put some cheese on it. It ain't nothing like this turkey on this day. You got to get back to the basics of God and stop worrying about stuff that you ought not be worrying about. Anybody believe God with me this morning? Somebody said, take no thought. Man, you're worrying about the wrong stuff. What you will eat or what you will drink. We ain't got no cranberry juice. For real. Nor about your body, what you will put on. I ain't got no new fall clothes. I got the same old stuff I had last year. I'm in my closet and ain't been able to go and pick up nothing new. Take no thought about what you will put on. Is your life not more than food and the body more than clothing? This ain't Pastor C talking. I'm reading what Jesus said. Man, you're worrying about your body. What you going, I ain't got no new clothes to put on. Well, put the old ones on and say it's new because I didn't wear it yesterday. It's on a new day. I got a new attitude. It's a new disposition. So the clothes are new, amen. Ray Charles said, one day I looked at my suit. My suit was new. I looked at my shoes and they were too. Huh? It's a new day. You gotta find joy in what you already got. Not what you want, but what you already got. I need somebody to just think about something that you got. And you know somebody else could use it, but you got it already. And give God our thanksgiving praise for that thing. For that thing that you already got. Not what you want. Not what you want, but what you already got. Not what you're going to put on. Is your life not more than food and the body more than clothing? This thing said, look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? You got to pause right there because some of us are worrying and we shouldn't be. Are you not more valuable than the birds? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? Worrying is not going to grow you up. It's going to tear you down. So why do you worry about clothing? That's a question. Look at somebody and ask them why. Interactive message this morning. Ask them again, why? I done put on some weight. This ain't fitting like it used to. And this ain't, I done got this going. And now this old thing done drew up on me. And come on, I know I'm in your house. I know I'm up in your house. Why do you worry about clothing? What you gonna buy me for Christmas? These next 38 days can be the most stressful days of a believer's life. I'm joking, I'm talking to you, but I'm very serious. These next 38 days, kicking off after Thursday with this commercialism, Black Friday set some of you in depression because you're trying to figure out how to buy stuff that you don't need, how to go in debt over stuff that don't nobody want, how to get people stuff that they ain't gonna wear, how to send people stuff that's gonna go in a closet somewhere and sit there, how to go out and pick up stuff that they're gonna take back on Monday. Come on, y'all need to talk to me in here. I'm trying to help you. You out there getting stuff that you don't even need to go and pick up for people. And all you got to do, buying stuff ain't showing love. Come on, you got to talk to me in here. Buying stuff is not showing your love. It's just showing that you represent and understand Christmas in a commercial way. I just want to talk to the scripture. Why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. You ever seen lilies? Springtime, how they pop up, man, in the splendor, in the color, the violets, the purples, the yellows, the reds. You see how they pop up and, man, it just beautifies everything around it. Consider the lilies of the field and how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. He's using nature to tell you to be still. Be at peace. Now, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? Here's the key, O you of little faith. I need you to underline that in your Bible. He did all of that talking to point to your faith. He did all of that talking to get you to look at circumstances and then to get you to examine what kind of faith do you have. He says, I'll talk to you about clothing. I'll talk to you about food. I'll talk to you about raiment. I'll talk to you about nature, and I'll get you to see it. But then I'll ask you a question. What kind of faith do you really have? Do you have that faith that you believe your God can supply all of your need, that your God will take care of every need that you have according to his riches and glory? Or do you have that faith that look at lack and begin to testify that lack is governing your life? Oh, you of little faith. Don't say that to somebody. It can be offensive. Don't say it. It can be offensive. Oh, you of little faith. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows what you need. He knows that you need all these things. The key is verse 33. Seek ye first. Somebody got to catch this. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things, the clothing, the food, the houses, the money, the cars, the bling, the trinkets, the peace, all these things shall be added to you. If you ain't seeking God first, you will be anxious. If you're not going after God first, you will be anxious because you'll go after stuff and then realize, oh, God got that. And then you come to God with an afterthought saying, I done worried, my hair's gray, everything beard gray, face gray, trying to take care of a church, trying to take care of a building, trying to take care of a family, and I ain't got enough power, strength, or might to take care of any of that on my own. I don't even wake myself up in the morning, so I can't really take care of me. Why am I worried? If he woke me up today, everything I need in the day that he woke me up is provided for that day. You got to hear this. Every need that you have for today is in this day when he woke you up. If you exhaust all of your needs in this day, he'll call you home at the moment when you exhaust the last one. You got to hear this. You got to hear this. When you go to sleep tonight, you will not have exhausted everything that you need, but he will still be supplying. He will still be Jehovah Jireh. He will still be looking in on you while you sleep. He'll still be providing blessings. He'll still be dispatching angels and saying, watch over them while they sleep and while they slumber. Stand over their bedpost. Stand over their house. Keep the death angel back off of them because they can't protect themselves. Lay there with them and just whisper peace to their situation. Let them sleep tonight. Let them close their eyes and rest. Look at somebody and say, it's time for you to rest again. Tell somebody, touch them. Just put your hand on, it's time for you to rest again. Touch them again and say, it's time for you to rest. Y'all feel me this morning? It's time for you to rest. So somebody ain't been sleeping at night. I feel you. You're alert. You're awake. And it's not because you're not sleepy. You got so many thoughts running through your mind telling you you ain't going to make it. You ain't going to be there. You're not going to get there. It ain't going to happen in your life. It's going to fall. It's going to fail. If you don't do this, if you don't do that, you can do better by yourself. Leave. Get out. Get away. Run. Escape. Take the wings of the dove and fly away and be at rest. You just want to escape life. But God says, I call you to enjoy life and to live life and to command life and to dominate life and to take dominion over everything that's trying to take dominion over you. Take your authority back and go to sleep. Somebody give God praise right there. You got to take your authority back and you got to go to sleep on what's trying to keep you up. Let me say this. Bills are going to be here when you die. Somebody need to hear that. Bills are going to be here when you die. Pastor Vickers said, don't leave them to the kids. Stop worrying about bills. Take authority over your life. Make a declaration now, not in the new year, that I'm not going in another cent of debt to make somebody else happy. You gotta catch this morning. I'm just talking to you. I didn't tell y'all what I'm ministering on, did I? I'm ministering on the realization of prosperity. I didn't even tell you what I was ministering on. I'm ministering on the realization of prosperity. The realization. Some of us been under the illusion of prosperity. We've been seeing things and thinking it's prosperity, and a lot of it's been debt. A lot of it has been makeup, cosmetics, and image concealment, hiding the pain that I have by looking like external things are making me prosperous, but it's putting you in debt, and you're not resting at night trying to fool everybody else. But the only person you can't fool is yourself and God. It's hard to worship on a lie. It's hard to shout on a lie. You want to pick them up, but sometimes put your foot down and walk yourself out of debt and stop acting like something that you're not. Shout your way out of that debt that you got yourself in, trying to make other folk think God is prospering me because I go to RCC. I got to have this, this, and this. No, that devil is a liar. God ain't into your stuff. Let me say this to you. God is not into your stuff. Your house is going to burn up. And you're going to pay $1 million for it, and it's going to burn up. It's wood, hay, and stubble. It is not going into heaven, and your house is going to burn up, and you're losing sleep trying to pay a note on a house. This don't have no eternal value in your life. If you move out of it for 2 years, it'll start collapsing on its own. It has no value. But you're trying to convince people how blessed you are by temporal stuff. Stuff that has no eternal value. Driving a car that they only give you 100,000 miles on at best. I want to go and get me this kind of car. I want to get this, this, and this. I want to have this. Go to the lot. DK, when they drive it off the lot, you'll sell it to them. Tell them they can come. They can get it. But when they drive it off the lot, they can't come back crying to you saying, DK, I can't pay for it, man. I got too much. I got hit over my head. Man, I don't know why you put me in all of this. They want to blame you for their mistake. Not counting the cost. Look at somebody and say, count the cost. Tell them the realization of prosperity. The word says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. God is trying to get us to understand the realization of prosperity is not your external stuff. It's your internal condition. Prosperity is an inside job. Just touch somebody and tell them that. Prosperity is an inside job. It's not an external factor. And so we're trying to find prosperity in external stuff. And so he says to us, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. My God. I don't know what I'm going to do tomorrow. I got to get up and got to go to work and I got to get in there. I don't even know what I'm going to do when I get there. Don't worry about it. Wait till you get there. You going to work worrying about who going to get on my nerve, who going to say this, who going to act stupid today. And so you wake up looking for drama. Do you not realize you invite that in your life because you wake up looking for it? Who's going to act the fool when I get to school? Who's going to act the fool when I get to work? Why don't you change what you say and say, you know what? Monday is going to be the most peaceful day of my life. I'm going to walk in with the joy of the Lord on me. Nothing is going to take the smile off my face. And I'm just going to bring peace everywhere I walk because I spent Sunday in the secret place of the Most High God. Come on, talk to me up in here. Talk to me up in here. Why spend Sunday in here and say I'm under the shadow of the Almighty and I'm abiding and then walk out Monday and say, what kind of it's going to come down in my life today? You realize God's shadow is bigger than this auditorium? Do you realize he is the light of the world? And so as long as you walk with him, his shadow is on your job. His shadow is in your house. His shadow is everywhere you go. You can't escape the shadow of God unless you disconnect yourself from his presence. He is the light of the world. And so if you go home and there's no peace in your house, you need to open your blinds and let the light of heaven come in. Ha ha, you ain't liking this kind of preaching. y'all want me to talk about Piccadilly. You ain't liking this kind of preaching. Open your blinds and let some light come in. And so that now he can illuminate or he can resonate or he can dwell in the presence of your place and bring peace back in your house. Who need peace in the house? Wave your hand at me. Just wave your hands. I know you're in here. That's why we're talking about this. Wave your hand again. Huh. I just read a scripture that said, my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches and glory. I'm prophesying to you right here. Peace is in your house right now. But now you clap too fast. You clap too fast. Hold on. Peace is in your house right now, but you are not. And so the only way peace leaves your house is when you get there. Oh, you ought to hit it right there, baby. I'm prophesying to you. Peace is in your house waiting on you right now. It's sitting at the door. It's on the couch with his leg crossed. It's got the TV warmed up for you. Peace is right there saying, I can't wait till they get home. I see what they're doing in that service. I know it's going to be better when they come back in. The only way peace leaves is when you come in and bring discontentment. Talk to me. Peace is already in your house. Somebody give God praise for your house right now. When you open the door and walk in, I want you to say, hello, peace. Thank you for covering my house for me while I was away. I'm here now to worship with you. Somebody said, peace is in my house. When I talk about, he said, therefore, I'm going to deal with this next week too, so I'm not rushing. Y'all understand? Next week, you'll already be done ate the turkey, and now you're talking about how much weight you done gained, and you got to get this off of you before the new year because you done overate. And so next week, I'm going to deal with it again so you get this thing, all right? Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will worry about its own things. This right here is what gets me. It says, sufficient for today. It's his own trouble. Sufficient for today is his own. You ain't even dealt with today's stuff. And you're worried about tomorrow. Somebody just lift your hands right there and say, man, I got enough anointing to deal with today. These next 38 days, is today is the 23rd, I believe. 7 days in November 31. Next 38 days, you understand the enemy comes after believers. This is the time when most believers deal with anxiety and depression. Start looking at who's gone, who's lost, who's not there, who left me, who walked away from me, who's not in my life, who I'm not going to be able to see, what I'm not going to be able to get. He brings anxiety into your life. And anxiety is, let me see this napkin. Just a napkin. Anxiety is the opposite of prosperity. You thought lack was. Lack is not the opposite of prosperity. Anxiety is. Prosperity is being made whole. Beloved, I wish above all things that you would prosper and be at peace, even as your soul prospers. He talks about being made whole, wellness in your body and in your life and in everything else. Anxiety, this is the definition. It literally means to be torn apart. And this is what life is trying to do to you. It's trying to find ways to tear you apart and tell you, you can't be put together again. And it's literally trying to rip you at the seam. And so you're walking through life, praising God, but feeling like every time you lift your hand, something is ripping. You ever felt the embarrassment of bending over and your trousers tear, or you think they tore because you heard something? You know how you spend the rest of that time trying to cover up and trying to make sure and trying to hide it? That's what most of us are in the house of God, where we're supposed to be praising, but anxiety comes in with us, and every time we lift our hands, we're being ripped, and we're being torn, and we're being pulled apart. And so we walk out of here supposed to be whole and supposed to be able to show the world an eternal God, a living Christ, but when they see us, they see holes on the inside. They see ripped up linings in suits. They see holes in lining, but we got it covered up in the jackets, hiding and concealed and look good. But if they could look inside the lining of what you got on, they would see the rips and the tears and the holes and the bruises, and they would see how we're being eaten alive from the inside out, but yet on the outside we are looking like prosperity, but on the inside the termites are literally eating us apart and destroying us and just sucking the life out of us from the inside out. And so we put a suit on, but the suit is just dead fabric. The suit is just dead fabric. There's no internal life. There's no internal peace. There's no internal hope that anything is going to work for us, because if you could really just open me up and see beyond the exterior of this, yes, it looks good on the outside, but if you could get to the inside, and if you could get past the shirt and see the undergarment, if you could get past that and see, I just got holes all in me because worry and anxiety and ulcers and stress and headaches and concerns and the cares of the world, every day they're coming after me, and I'm trying to get to God first, but when I open my eyes, matter of fact, before I open my eyes, there's a care of the world that's already at my bedside saying, did you do this? Did you do that? Are you going to do this? And so I wake up and I don't bow down on my knees and say, God, I thank you for another day. I wake up saying, where I got to be, what I got to do, who I got to see, who's on my agenda. And I wake up running, and as I'm running, I don't realize I'm running out. I'm running low. I'm running on empty. I'm running heavy. I'm running depleted. But yet I show up on Sunday, I worship, I minister, I try. But yet when I go back and I look at myself beyond what I put on for other people to see, I'm broken. Talk to me up in here. I'm broken, I'm wounded, I'm hurting, I'm distraught, but I put a smile on my face and I come and see you and I tell you how blessed and highly favored I am. But when I get to my house, I say, my God, why have thou forsaken me? Talk to me up in here, if you're in this room. My God, why have you allowed this calamity to come upon me? Looking by to say the realization of prospering. When I talk about prospering, it's important that you understand I'm not talking about external material stuff. Not talking about another house or another car or another trinket or money or materialistic stuff. I'm not talking about hedonistic stuff. I'm not talking about secular humanism. I'm not talking about the value of what you own or the value of what you have. When I talk about prospering, that type of prospering that deals with your external stuff, that type of prospering is conditional. It's conditional. It evolves out of whether your day was good or your day was bad, or whether things were good or things were bad in your life. That type of prospering is circumstantial. It's very temporal. It's fleeting. It's transcending. It's moving. It's static. It does not stay with you. That type of prospering, it comes to give you a glimmer of hope, but then it snatched the rug out from under you. Anybody ever felt like you had hit your season and this was it for your life, and things were on the uptick and you were beginning to move with God and everything was beginning to go, and then it seemed like you just opened your eyes one day and somebody pulled a rug out from under you? Talk to me in here. Let me see your hand. Somebody just pulled a rug out from under you. How do you deal with God when it looks like the rug gets pulled out? How do you deal with God when it looked like he was with you and it looked like you were obedient and it looked like he was leading you and it looked like you were being led of the Spirit and it looked like you were following him and everything was going well and things were good and you didn't have to have faith, you just had to be obedient? And then you woke up one morning and the magic carpet. Sometimes he removes the carpet to see, are you just going along for the ride? Are you just going for the ride because good things are happening in your life? But can you still run with me when you're not riding with me? Can you still walk with me when you're not riding with me? Can you crawl with me? Or can you just sit still until I come back around, because I will pick you up again? God does not deal with us on temporal prosperity. He's not into that stuff that we talk about. The type of prospering I'm talking about this morning and just introducing is, I'm talking about that that comes from the inside. Prosperity that comes from the Holy One himself. Prosperity that comes from the peace of knowing that God is. You don't have to put anything else behind it. You just got to know that God is, and then you got to have faith that you are God's. Come on, talk to me up in here. You got to have faith that God is, and then you got to know that you are God's. And if you are his child, he's told you in his word, there's nothing that he will withhold from you as long as you keep walking upright. Internal prosperity is long-lasting. It's not based on external conditions. Here's what it's based on: a life of personal prayer and inner peace. Man, you got to see this. A life of personal prayer and inner peace. You know, it's hard to pray when you're anxious. Ain't nobody looking at me. You ever tried to pray anxious? Talk to me. What does an anxious prayer sound like? Talk to me. I can hear you. An anxious prayer sounds like begging. But why would you beg your father for something that already belongs to you? If he's your father, what does an anxious prayer sound like? Talk to me. Like telling God what to do. Hurry up. Right now. Anxious prayer is putting God on your time, bringing him out of Kairos and bringing him into Chronos. God, if I don't get this right now, if I don't do this right now, God, if this don't come to pass right now, God, you got to. What does anxious prayer sound like? Rambling. Keep saying the same thing over and over and over and over. Over and over and over and over. Over and over and over and over. again and again and again, saying it again and again and again. It's this chapter that we're in, Matthew chapter 6. He says, stop doing that. He says, stop your vain repetitions. You act like he got a short-term memory problem. God, I told you yesterday I need this. God, did you hear me? Anybody deal with him like that? You see, I don't want to preach a message to you, and then you go home and say, oh, that was great, that was great, that was great. But then you keep the same behavior. He says, be anxious. Don't be ripped apart for nothing. If God is not moving on that thing in your life, it's not time for him to move on that thing. And so you move on from it and leave it alone and let it go and let God work it out. And he'll bring it back to you when it's time for it to begin to work in your life. We got so many premature blessings where God says, I'm going to do this thing for you just to shut you up, but you ain't ready for it. You ain't ready for it, and so when you get it, it's gonna backfire on you, or it's gonna misfire on you, and then you're gonna blame me. But all I'm doing is giving you what you ask, because if I don't, I'll be a liar, because I said, ask of me, and I'll give you whatever you ask. How many of us are asking for stuff that really don't matter? Do you really know what you need from God right now? If I gave you a choice and told you can only ask God for one thing, and it needs to be the most important thing in your life, and that's the only thing he's going to answer, and you got 5 seconds to tell him what it is, who would be able to jump on their feet and say, God, I know implicitly this is the most important thing. This is all I need right now. In the hands. We don't even know what to ask him. But we praise him. Call him up and tell him what you want. You didn't want to raise your hand? You know what it is? It better be me. You see, if it's anything else, we got a problem with God. Let me do this for about 10 more minutes. And this is my introduction. This is my introduction. I'm ministering. I give you these things, the realization of prosperity. How many of you being blessed just in this atmosphere? One of the things that blessed me about going to Africa was I don't have to wear myself out trying to be something that I already am. You understand, I have been trying to be your pastor instead of just being your pastor. Trying to figure out how to be the pastor that you want. It don't really matter. I have to be the pastor that God called. It makes my life more fruitful. It makes your life more fruitful. And then you can get on with being real. I can sit up here and do cartwheels and flips and sweat, and you run out of here and tell people how good of a time the pastor put on for you. And then you get out of here and hell is still at your door. But I just prophesied that peace is in your house. And you caught that thing and told you're going to meet it when you get there. And you got that because it was clear, it was plain, it was understandable. And now you got an expectation when you leave here. You got a hope when you leave here. You understand? The only way it's not there is if you missed being here. Some of you are going to leave here and realize I was never in that service. I'm talking to you on a whole nother level now. I'm not talking to you about your religion, your church, your religiosity. I'm talking to you about your way of life, your way of thinking, your way of living, your way of being. And it's time to break out of fake and phony. And it's time to stop pretending and acting. And it's time to be who you are. If you're struggling, struggle openly. Let the world know I'm struggling for Jesus. After all, it's in the Bible. If you struggle with him, you will be with him. You'll drain with him, right? But we don't want to struggle. We've been sold a bill of goods to say when you give your life to Christ, every day is going to be sunshine, rain is going to cease, you ain't going to have no more down days, you ain't going to get sick in your body. That devil is a lie. Let me say this. When you give your life to Christ, you become a candidate for sickness. You become a candidate for struggle. You become a candidate for opposition. You wondering why are you fighting up in your house, and we both said we love God because the devil trying to figure out how to get up in here and get Christ not out of your house but out of you. How do I get him out of you? If I can get him out of you, I can get him out of your house. Look at this. Let me just say this and then I'm going to let you go. Let me give you a definition to think about before you come back next week. Write this down, definition of prosperity. I've given it to you before, but I know you don't have it in your notes today. You got it in that notebook at home. Prosperity means to succeed. It means to succeed. It means to thrive. It means to turn out, not turn up. Some of us been so busy trying to get turned up that we done messed up all prosperity. It means to turn out, not turn up. It means to do well. It means to be fortunate. It means to increase and advance. Did you know prosperity meant all of this? It means to gain. It means to push forward. Paul talks about pressing towards the mark of the call of the high price. You understand? The prize of the high call. It means to push forward. Opposition will come in all of our lives, but it's how you deal with that opposition that determines whether you're still prospering or not. When sickness comes in our body, sometimes sickness comes to cause us to look at life in a different angle or from a different vantage point. And when we overcome that sickness, not when it's over and we declare that we're healed, but while we're going through it, God is training and teaching us something. Anybody ever learned valuable lessons while you were in pain? Your pain has a purpose. Your pain has a place in your prospering. Your pain is not poison. It's connected to the passion of God for your life to see if your praise is real or is it make-believe. Can you praise me when pain is working in your life? Can you praise me when the lights are turned down low and when things are dim and not flowing the way you want them to be flowing? Can you still give me the glory when it looks like nothing is going right in your life? Can you still walk with me when it looks like I'm not walking with you? Can you be like Job and declare, I go forward and you're not there. I go backwards and I can't fathom you. I look to the right and I don't behold you. And to the left, you're not even there. Can you hang with God when it doesn't look like he's hanging with you? Can you stay in your place when it looks like God has gotten out of his place? Talk to me up in here this morning. Can you be mature enough to say, God, I ain't going nowhere and I'm going to stay put. If you kill me, you're going to kill me worshiping you. If you kill me, you're going to kill me praising you. I got a Job testimony this morning that though the world try to slay me, yet will I trust my God. Yet will I praise my God. I'm going to die giving him the glory. I'm going to die still worshiping him. I'm going to die letting the world know I don't have everything I want, but I got everything I need. I got the peace of God at work in my life. Prosperity, it means to move forward. It means to go further. Pastor John, it means to do better. Prosperity means made to break out. You like that sick that's in that egg. You weren't made to live inside that bubble or that cocoon and die, but you were born with something that will cause you to break out. And I just want to prophesy to you this morning that this is your season to break out of whatever it is that's been trying to lock you up. This is your season to begin to use your anointing to break through and break forth and break out of that situation that's been trying to lock you up. This is your season to get free from the oppression and the oppressor and begin to use the gift that's on the inside of you. Death and life is in the power of your tongue, and you got to begin to use the weapon of your mouth and begin to declare the praises of God and break through and break forth and break out with the praise on your lips. Prosperity, prosperity, it means to break out and to break through. It means to be profitable. But then it means to be whole. Too many of us are fragmented. Too many of us are torn. Too many of us are broken. Too many of us are ripped. Too many of us are hurt. Too many of us are in pieces, shattered and tattered. But prosperity, it means to be whole. Somebody lift your hand and say, I am whole. Prosperity means to be whole. It means to be peaceful. Somebody say, I am peaceful. It means to be full in all areas of your life. Question for you. Is there anybody here this morning that's ready to break out? Is there anybody ready to move forward? You've been in that situation long enough. I'm gonna go ahead and tell you, the quicksand is dried up. You can walk again. Some of you have been walking and it feel like your feet been going down and it's just been pulling you down and you can't even get the other leg up to take a step. And so you just have resided to stand still and not move. But this is your day to move forward again. Is there anybody ready to move forward? Is there anybody ready to succeed and to increase? Is there anybody ready to overcome and to do better? Is there anybody ready to be profitable? Is there anybody ready to be sewn back together again? One napkin was a picture of anxiety. Another napkin is the picture of your life with Christ. Nothing missing. Nothing torn. Nothing shattered. Nothing broken. Able to be folded in life. Able to be folded in life. Able to be balled up in life. Able to be thrown away by some people in life. Able to be walked away from in life. Able to be walked on in life. Able to be stood on in life and just seem like the world wants to grind you into the dirt from which he made you. But yet, when you see Jesus, your life is a living testimony. I've been walked on. I've been trampled on. I've been ripped on. I got holes in my life, but yet I'm still more complete than I am shattered. I've been through life, but yet when I see Jesus, when I come into his house, I bring all of me, the torn pieces, the balled up pieces, the ripped up pieces, the walked on pieces, and I say, here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say, you're my God. here I am to declare, you are my peace. You are my strength. You are my joy. You are my help. You are my sustainer. You are my keeper. My life has value because I'm in your hands. I'm in your hands. The opposite of prosperity is not lack. The opposite of prosperity is anxiety. God, I'm so torn. I'm so shattered. You don't realize they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. And every one of these wrinkles got a testimony. Every last one of these wrinkles got a story behind it. And I could have died on that one, but I overcame. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I could have quit on this one, but I overcame. I got some friends that didn't make it on this one, but I got out. Why did he bring me through? That's it. Why did I overcome when others were succumbed by the thing that I got out of? I'm done. All of the people that just want to praise God for peace. Yeah, just peace. You want your peace. I want you to just come down here with me. Just walk down here. This is just an open altar for peace. This ain't church membership. This ain't any of that. This is just for your peace to come back in your life. Michelle, just minister.